Good morning. Hi, this is Pastor Ken. Once again, we gather around our television screens, our phones, or other devices for worship on this fifth Sunday in the Christian season of Lent. And God is with us, whether we are alone in our kitchens, or sitting in our family rooms, or living rooms with our families. God is still with us. God hears our prayers and accepts our worship in Jesus' name, through the power and through the presence of His Holy Spirit. I do miss being together, though. Christian worship is meant to be communal. It's meant to be corporate. Worship, especially in Protestant and Reformed churches, is not something that just the pastor does while everybody else watches. Worship is something we do together. We all participate. And that's more difficult these days, but not impossible. And so the order of worship has been emailed out to you, along with worship songs and suggestions for you to use, either before, or after, or even during the service, if you wanted to pause this video to play a song, or listen to a song, or sing along as a family. Some of you have pianos or other instruments at home, and you can lead your family in singing together. Small groups may choose to gather together electronically over an online platform like Zoom in order to discuss today's topic and scripture passage. For many of us, there's probably plenty of time to read the Bible, to discuss, and to pray together, and I hope that we do those things. My prayers are with you, and my prayers are with us as we worship from a distance during this temporary disruption. And I'm thankful, as one public figure has said, even though we have to distance ourselves from one another, that we have a God who never distances Himself from us. So please join me now, follow along with our order of worship. First, now with the call to worship. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen. Our Lenten psalm reading this morning comes from Psalm 130. Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. And in His word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with Him is full redemption. He Himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. And this morning we continue in our Lenten series on the Ten Commandments. And we are looking at the fifth commandment today. Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. And at the same time, we're looking at the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 104. What is God's will for you in the fifth commandment? And the answer, that I honor, love, and be loyal to my father and mother, and all those in authority over me. That I obey and submit to them as is proper when they correct and punish me. And also that I be patient with their failings, for through them God chooses to rule us. Please join me in a prayer of confession this morning. Merciful Father God, we bow our spirits before you today. We ask for your grace and forgiveness. in our frantic attempts to serve ourselves, to provide for ourselves. Lord, we have not trusted in you with all our heart. We have knowingly or unknowingly put our trust in other gods. And in a time of quarantine, maybe some of this is coming to light. We have trusted in idols. We have misused the name, your name, and smeared your reputation among friends and co-workers. We have not kept the Sabbath day holy, and so have demonstrated our lack of faith and trust in you to provide. And we have not always honored our parents, nor have we submitted to the authorities in our lives. Lord, have mercy and forgive. Through this journey in Lent, help us to take off the old ways and the sinful habits like old shoes and replace them with new holy habits that help us experience your love and grace. Lord, this morning and this week, transform our thinking, renew our minds, and help us to be self-controlled and self-disciplined as we repent of our selfish independence this Lenten season. Meet us with renewed grace, renewed love, renewed dependence upon you in all that we do. For it is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. People of God, hear the good news of assurance, of forgiveness, of pardon this morning. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse 8, by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is a gift of God. So by the sure word of God, we are assured this morning that we are forgiven in Jesus' name. Praise be to God. And we come together with our time of congregational prayer, and I encourage you to be praying at home too, either now or after this service, or another time to pray with your family. It's so important. Let us pray. Eternal God, one yet three, we praise you. Freely through the blood of Jesus, we come boldly to your throne of mercy with our prayers of intercession this morning. We thank you for blessing us with all that we have and for who we are. Thank you for leading us through very difficult times and for being with us today. When we are in our tough moments, our anxious hours, God, you are our Emmanuel. We praise you, for you are good, you are loving, and you are all-powerful. God, we pray for our world in its distress. We pray for nations who struggle to contain the COVID-19 virus. And where many are dying, Lord, we pray for those who grieve. And so we lift up to you nations of Italy, Spain, China, and the UK. We pray for cooperation and good communication among the nations, that lives may be saved. God, we also pray for our own nation, filled with anxiety and grief, greed and selfishness. Show us how to love and serve one another in this time of isolation. Bless families that are not used to spending so much time together. I pray for renewal of the family unit during this time, and for renewal of family prayer, worship, and devotion to you, God. We also pray for many who are being laid off from their jobs, and for others whose jobs are dangerous or risky due to this virus. God, grant your protection and peace, we pray. We're also thankful, Lord. We're thankful for your sovereign control of all things, and we know that you have the whole world in your hands. We're thankful for science, technology, for advanced medicine, and the quick response of governments. We are thankful for homes, families, and food. God, even in the midst of crisis, you continue to provide for us. Thank you, God. And Lord, keep us generous. Help us not to hoard and take from others, but instead know the truth of what Jesus said when he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. So as we give of our tithes and offerings, we pray for your blessing upon these gifts. We thank you for them. We thank you for the privilege of joining you in your kingdom work. Lord, may you be glorified and may your church be blessed. And now hear us, O Lord, as we pray the prayer Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen and amen. You are encouraged to continue to offer your gifts to God, your tithes and your offerings, and they could be mailed to the church the old-fashioned way, or you could use the new way that has just begun on our church's website. There is a link to a PayPal account that links your bank account to the church's bank account. And I used it last week and verified that it worked, and it was really easy to use. So you can do that if you'd like. But continue to be generous, as the deacons would encourage us to continue to give and support the work of ministry and benevolence here in our community, but also around the world. So now we come before God's Word, and we open God's Word, but we want to pray for the Spirit to illumine our mind, to open our minds, to shine light on God's Word and through His Spirit. And so we do that through a prayer of illumination this morning. Please join me in prayer. Lord God, help us to turn now to you with our hearts and our minds and our souls to hear what you would say in your holy word. For you speak peace to your people. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Romans chapter 13, and I invite you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 13. The scripture reading today is Romans 13, verses 1 through 7. Hear now the word of the Lord. Let everyone be subject to governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will be bringing judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants, who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As you probably already know or already suspect, today the fifth commandment about honoring mother and father goes much deeper than just saying, yes, dad, yes, mom, when our parents ask us to do something. And just like honoring God's name, honoring our parents seems like it would be lower on the importance list as far as important rules to follow. But God here places honoring our parents in a very special place. The fifth commandment is foundational, a lot like the first commandment was for the first part of the Ten Commandments. As I've mentioned, Moses came down from Mount Sinai with two tablets or two tables of the law. And now, since Xerox hadn't been invented yet in the ancient Near East, They had to make two copies of what I suspect are two copies of the very same thing. It was a very common practice in the ancient world when they made a covenant, when they made an agreement, a contract, either one nation to another or one individual to another. It was a very common practice to make two copies of the agreement, two copies of the contract. So each would have this exact same thing of what they agreed to, and they could hold each other accountable that way. And so the Israelites put one copy in the Ark of the Covenant, God's copy, and they kept another copy for themselves to see and feel and hold up as God's standard among them, and to remind them of the covenant, of the agreement that they made with God, to obey God, to be God's people, and to follow his ways. And the stipulations, the laws, the Ten Commandments were written on those tablets of stone. The first half, what we may call the first table or tablet of the law, regards our vertical relationship, a relationship with God. And that second table, or the second tablet of the law, regards our horizontal relationships, relationships that we have with one another, how we interact with each other, our fellow human beings. So the fifth commandment about honoring the authority of our mother and father is foundational for our understanding and applying the rest of the commandments from God in our dealing with and interacting with other people. The family unit and the parental relationship is foundational for how we relate to others in the world. So today in the fifth commandment, we move to the second part of the commandments, or the second table or tablet of the law, dealing with our horizontal relationships with each other, with our neighbors. The Apostle Paul often lists rules or obligations for how Christians ought to love and serve and deal with each other in his letters in the New Testament. And when he does so, a careful observation will discover that what he's really doing is listing the commandments. He's listing many of the commandments from the second table of the law. You'll see it, for example, when you read the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 6, verse 1, when Paul says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." Or Colossians 3, verse 20, "Obey parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." And we see this commandment broadened in the New Testament as well, when we read in Hebrews 13, verse 7, about obeying our church leaders. And 1 Peter 5, 5, where younger men ought to submit to the authority of their elders. And in Titus 1, 1, where we're told to submit to the rulers and authorities. And also in 1 Peter 2, 17, where it says to fear God and to obey the king. Of course, it is also in our reading today, Romans chapter 13, a key passage for submitting to our governing authorities. The fifth commandment says, "Honor your mother and your father so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you." That doesn't mean that you're going to live for 100 years if you keep this commandment. It's not about chronology so much. The idea is that you will enjoy the abundant life the Bible talks about. The full life, living in God's blessings in the promised land, when you live the way God designed you to live, the way God intended. And that's how God made the world. He made the world work well when children begin with a strong foundation of honoring and submitting to that primary authority of their parents. Without that, there is no honor, respect, or self-discipline to obey the rest of the commandments as people relate to others in the world. The immediate concern of the commandment is to honor parents within the most basic and fundamental structure of human society, the family. But traditionally, this commandment has been broadened to include respect and honor for all authority. So says the Heidelberg Catechism as well. In Lord's Day 39, we're told God's will for the fifth commandment is to honor, love, and be loyal to our fathers and mothers. And of course, this is what the commandment says. But it also says, and it says all those in authority over us, all of those in authority over us. The commandment and the catechism are difficult to talk about today. We live in an era where personal, individual individualism and personal freedom are the greatest good, and nothing better coming my way of my happiness, my goals, and my dreams, and not even a commandment from God. Also, if we thought about it for a couple of seconds, we could come up with a whole list of historical figures that give us ample reason why we wouldn't want to trust in our authority figures, trust our authority figures, or obey them. Names like Hitler and Stalin and Saddam Hussein come to mind. Our passage from Romans 13 is also very difficult for us to hear today. Verse 1, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Today, we've had to make a choice to honor and submit to our governing authorities as we face a stay-at-home order or a shelter-in-place order by the government of the state of Michigan. We're living in a state of emergency, statewide and nationally as well. Our government has taken drastic steps to slow the spread of this coronavirus. Our governing authorities are not telling us that we may never worship God again or gather together for worship. That's not what this is about, not at all. But they're doing the best that they can to help care for us and protect us in this time of need, and hopefully only for a short while. But some people really have a hard time. Some people really chafe at that word, submit, or be subject to, or to subject oneself, no matter who we're supposed to submit to. It's our pride, I believe. It's the deadly sin of pride that's within us. So when people read a passage like Romans 13, the question isn't always, what was that? And what does it mean? How do I do it? How do I follow this? No, people don't immediately think that. They immediately ask for where's the loophole? Where's the loophole in the law? Where's the exception to this rule? Many people in our current national political climate want to cut out Romans 13, right out of the Bible. Submit to this president. Pay taxes, what? To Caesar of all people. Nevertheless, even if we don't like to hear it, even though it chafes against our human pride, Romans 13, verses 1 through 7 is still an important part of the written word of God, and it is God's word for us today too. So in thinking about the fifth commandment, I'd like to talk about not just children obeying parents, but quickly I want to talk about these two categories: honoring the authority of the family and honoring authority in the government. Honoring authority in the family and authority in the government. First, God's will is that we honor the authority in the family. At the most basic sense, to keep the fifth commandment is first to honor authority in the family. But parents are not perfect, you say. Some parents are downright unworthy of honor. Some younger and even adult children may naturally be asking today, how do I keep this commandment when my parents don't even know or love or serve the Lord? Now, this may take you back a ways. Do you remember the TV show called All in the Family? All in the Family? You remember Archie Bunker? He was the pro-government guy, the patriot, the pro-Nixon guy. He was also had a huge vocabulary of racial slurs that he loved to use. Archie was supposed to represent the older generation in that show. The younger, the supposedly more enlightened generation, the younger generation of Americans, who are now probably senior citizens, were like Archie's son-in-law in the show, Michael. But to Archie and those like him, Michael was a complete meathead, and that's what he loved to call him in the show, you meathead. This TV show really begs the question, where is the exception to the rule? Because the show was written during a time when the government and our governing authorities gave us ample reason to be suspicious and to question and to doubt and to protest. When it comes to obeying the fifth commandment, what do? If, as a child, I fundamentally disagree with my parents' lifestyle, or set of beliefs or values, how is it possible to honor them and to submit to their authority? That's an important question. And let's not be too easy on parents. I cannot preach the fifth commandment without talking about the deadbeat and abusive parents who are out there, who are simply not worthy of respect or honor in and of themselves. Some parents make it almost impossible for children to obey God and honor their mothers and fathers. I'm not perfect either. So where do we draw the line? When do we say, as it does in Acts chapter 5, that it is better to obey God than to obey people, mom and dad? And how do we make those kinds of decisions? Maybe we can honor them in some ways, but not in others. Unfortunately, we often go to the extremes. In honor societies, parents' wishes are always honored and obeyed no matter what. The child will face severe shame and be ostracized and cut off from the family if they do not always honor their parents' wishes, even as adult children. We, however, do not live in such a society. We probably go to the opposite extreme of honoring and valuing youth culture over our elders and over age and wisdom. We need to remember the commandment to honor mother and father. But why? And how do we do it? Authority in the family was established by God as God wove together the basic fabric of human society. Authority was part of God's design. Parents have authority over their children because parents have a divine calling. A divine calling to care for and nurture and to protect their children. And yes, that means giving instructions, directions, teaching, and setting healthy boundaries and giving rules to live by. We do not let our children just go off and figure out life on their own. No, as parents, we're supposed to give that guidance, direction, instruction, and teaching. We do not let them go off in their own devices and their Lord of the Flies sinful nature to make life whatever they want life to be for themselves. It is our high calling as parents to teach our children right from wrong and to help them gain and form an accurate understanding of the good and the true and the beautiful. Without the parental guidance, children will find guidance from somewhere and from someone, whether it's from a street gang or the TV or an internet sensation from YouTube. Children will find guidance from someone. And the calling of parents also includes teaching and guiding their children about what is true about God and leading them in understanding a Christian world and life view. That's so important. It's your job as parents to lead them in a Christian world and life view, to teach them about God. We do not leave religion up to our children to figure out on their own who or what they're going to worship. We guide them, we teach them, we lead them, we tell them about the Lord. We tell them about what God commands and what God expects of us. A child is supposed to get a clear sense of what God expects of them in the family, from you, mom and dad. You thought this commandment was all about children, obeying their parents. Well, parents, you have an obligation as well. Parents have a primary responsibility for raising and educating their children, preparing them for an adult life of honoring and loving God and loving their neighbor. Pastors, elders, other church members, and fellow Christians come alongside of us as we raise our children. Sunday school teachers, Christian education, other teachers come alongside of us as we raise our children. But as parents, we have that primary responsibility. Studies have shown that the key factor for avoiding many social ills and problems later in life is that children have at least one adult, have one parent who loves them and is there for them. Children need parents. They need parental authority in their life. They need to know where the boundaries are. They need to be instructed in how to live well in the presence of God and with others. But we also hear the teaching of Jesus, don't we, in the back of our minds, if you know your Bibles well, where Jesus says, "If anyone loves father or mother more than me, is not worthy of me." So there may be a time when parents are not obeyed, What is Jesus saying here? That I shouldn't love my mom and dad? No, of course not. He's saying we need to love Jesus more. And I think especially of children and teenagers who are converted to Christianity, but their parents are maybe Jewish or Hindu or Muslim, or just not serious followers of Jesus. The child is called to obey Christ rather than the parent when it comes to following Christ and obeying God's ways. But honor is more than just mere obedience. Honoring a parent in this case may mean that the child treats his or her parents with respect and obeys them in every way possible without dishonoring Christ or the Word of God. A child in this case shouldn't dismiss the parents as stupid or ignorant or unenlightened, to disregard the parents. That's not the way Christians, Christ followers, treat unbelievers in the first place. That's not the best way to reach your parents for Christ. Let me tell you that. The child who is a new believer or follower of Christ can honor their parents in this case, also by allowing them to be with them without judgment, without hatred, and without emotional distance. Can you still love your parents to the best way possible? And so parents were and are put in authority over us as one way that God takes care of us, prepares us for life, and protects us from the dangers of the world around us and the folly and the evils that are out in the world. For through them, the Catechism says, God chooses to rule us. And I would add to that word rule, since we don't like that word, to guide. God, through them, through our parents, God chooses to guide us, to protect us, love us, and nurture us. God chooses to use the parental authority, as it says in verse 4, for your good, for your good. God's will is that we honor the authority in the family. And next, it's God's will that we honor authority in government too. Another way God chooses to care for us and rule us is through our governing authorities. It's always easy to criticize, easy to complain, and to argue about the value of government, but without the working government, life would be far worse for us. Paul continues in verse 2, saying, consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment upon themselves. Again, maybe this judgment is a matter of natural consequences. Yes, it may seem difficult to submit to our governing authorities, but what about the Apostle Paul? What about the early church living in Rome? When you think about submitting to governing authorities, we think about submitting to a government that is of the people, by the people, and for the people. We submit to a government that is influenced by our votes and our lobbying efforts, and maybe is at least a little responsive to our complaints. The Church of the Roman Empire, however, was submitting to a government that was of the Caesar, by the Caesar, for the Caesar. Caesar was Lord of Lords in that government. You paid taxes not because it was your civic duty to pay taxes. You paid taxes because you didn't want to be impaled on a stake and showcased as an example in the town square. So how much more difficult was it for that church in Rome, the early church in Rome, to hear this message about submitting to governing authorities? And why would the Apostle Paul tell them to do that? Why not rise up and rebel? Why not fight back? Because that's not the Christian way. And that wasn't best for the Christian church at the time. Paul was probably addressing some overly zealous believers who thought that maybe the end of the world was coming soon, that Jesus was coming back any minute now. So those things of government, things of the world, they probably thought, they're going to burn up anyways, they're going to go away, we don't have to deal with it, we really don't have to listen to government, is what they were probably thinking. Paul says, no. The governing authorities were established by God to take care of you. Not just you, Christian, but others too that live in the world around you. So Paul is helping them to take a longer view of things as Christians living in the world. God uses the Caesar. He uses the Roman Senate. He uses presidents and prime ministers and Congress and the House of Commons to care for people through these government structures. As wrong as they sometimes are, as imperfect as they are bound to be, as unjust and as some government leaders may be, nevertheless, they are God's servants, to do you good, it's, he says, to do you good. And they do not bear the sword for nothing. So be afraid if you do wrong, he says. God rules us and he restrains evil through the government and even secular law and secular law enforcers. Surely there are times where it is better to obey God rather than people and rather than government. But never is it okay to completely disregard and dismiss our governing authorities and just let anarchy rule. Where else do we see God's sovereign hand over the governing authorities in the Bible? We see it in multiple places where God is in charge. God has the hearts of kings are in the hands of the Lord. In Daniel 4, verse 17, it says, "The Most High God is sovereign over all the kingdoms of the earth, and he gives them to anyone he wishes and sets over them the lowliest of people." And of course, the pagan King Cyrus was called by Isaiah himself, the anointed of God, the anointed of God even. God used the pagan king in order to establish his kingdom purposes and to restore Israel to the land. The hearts of kings and all governing authorities are in God's hands ultimately, and that includes our presidents, our parents, our governors, all who are in authority. God has ultimate authority, and I believe the Apostle Paul is trying to remind us of that too. In our cynical culture and partisan bickering, we can easily overlook how God would indeed care for us through our governing authorities and our governments. We, especially in North America, experience immense personal freedom and comfort because of our governments. And you ask why or how? Well, every time an air traffic controller keeps a plane safe, every time the mail is delivered in a timely manner, every time the FBI solves a crime and locks a criminal away, every time the Christians can gather together for worship without tyranny, every time a law prevents someone from doing something bad or hurtful or evil, we see that there is plenty in government that actually does work and works well. There's plenty in government that actually does work and works well. We don't normally see it on the news because we only see the negative things. And we like to complain and talk about the negative things. But we don't see so much in government that is and does work well. And God, in what we call his common grace, that is, the rain shines on the just and the unjust alike. In his common grace, he cares for all people under the umbrella of government and governing authorities that he uses and controls for our good. God's will in this commandment is that we honor the authority of our parents, our family, and we honor the authority in our government too. So the practical application today. The Apostle Paul, he makes a practical application in the scriptures in Romans 13. He says to give to those you owe something. If you owe taxes, even to Caesar, pay your taxes, because no one has authority except that which God has given to them. Paul encourages Christians to take the bigger picture, the long view of things. Honoring and submitting to governing authorities will be best for the spread of the gospel message of Jesus Christ and the establishment of the church. For bucking the establishment all the time and rebelling against the governing authorities all the time, if you do that, it's not going to go well for you, Christian. It's not going to go well for you, church. And it's not going to help the church necessarily spread throughout the world. Paul also directs the Christian's attention to God's sovereignty over all authority. The ultimate authority is God, who has given all things to his Son, Jesus Christ. So yes, Jesus is Lord of Lords, not Caesar, and not any president. But it is still important to obey the God-established authority in all ways possible. Sure, criticize, comment, complain if you're able, lobby for a better world and a better process for all, but give to those you owe, whether it's taxes or revenue or honor or respect. If it's the authority in your family, mom and dad, then give honor. Even if you're an adult child, consider calling mom or dad today. Honor them with your presence, or just the presence of your voice or your video image. Give what is owed, even if it is the authority of government, president, the prime minister, or the authority of the church, the pastor, the council, the elder. Give authority, love, give honor, love, and obey, as the Catechism tells us. And be patient with their failings, for they're human beings, sinners, in need of grace, just like all of us. For through them, as imperfect as our leaders are, God chooses to lead us, to guide us, to rule us, to protect us, and be with us. And God will be with us. May it be so. May it be so. Please join me in prayer. God, you are God above every authority, every power, everything that exalts itself in this world or in the heavens above. You are King above all, and we praise you. Thank you for using imperfect entities like governments and imperfect people like parents to lead and guide us and protect us. Forgive us when we are tempted to rebel and disobey. And give us the wisdom to know when it is better to obey you rather than people. God, in respecting and honoring our parents, we honor you, and we learn to honor and respect others too. Through our lifestyles and obedience, may the world know that Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And may many, many people submit their own lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ as they trust Him alone for their salvation. And yes, even for their very breath and every breath they take. To you be all glory, honor, and praise, Father, who with the Son and the Holy Spirit is one God, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. People of God, fear not. God is always with us. And as we depart today, may the grace of God, deeper than our imaginations, the strength of Christ, stronger than our need, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, richer than our togetherness, guide and sustain us today and in all of our tomorrows. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. God bless you and keep you today and always until we meet again.